Hey, Kim, guess what time of year it is?
It's Halloween, and we've got a week of creepiness for our listeners.
Yep, October 26th to the 30th, we'll be celebrating our favorite holiday with you, our favorite people.
Each day, we'll have a brand new mini episode of something creepy and crawly for you to enjoy.
So stop in and listen every day, then tweet us for a chance at some killer kudzu giveaways. Cut that out, it's undignified.
Okay. Hey, y'all. Thanks for coming back to listen to another Friday episode of Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea.
I'm Lark, and that other voice you hear is Kim. For the next 15 minutes or so, we hope to bring y'all an interesting tidbit about crime, or a story we feel you'll like but just doesn't have enough information available for a full episode.
We hope you enjoy these tasty morsels of good old Southern Gothic mayhem.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and enjoy yourself. So now, on with the show.
Lark.
Hey, Kim. How you doing?
I'm all right. Got any big plans for the weekend?
Well, kind of. We might go out to the beach and check out Jody's band this weekend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So we don't have any plans. I think the boys are playing board games again tomorrow. Shocking, I know.
I tell you what. Well, you know what? If it's Labor Day, it's guaranteed to rain. So even though in Texas, you can predict the weather by the fact that it is
Labor Day.
Yeah, it's a holiday. So if you want to do something fun outside, like barbecue or whatever, it's going to rain. So anyway.
That's the truth.
So what's up today?
Well, I thought today I would depart a little bit from our usual serial killers and spree killers and grannies that poison people and talk about someone who was very good at catching these people.
Awesome. Well, that's what our Fridays are all about, really. It's a little lanyap, as they say in Louisiana. A little something extra for y'all folks. So what is it?
Well, she was so good at this, she became the first female Pinkerton agent. And
cool.
Her name was Kate Warren. W-A-R-N-E. She was a detective, a spy, and actually saved Abraham Lincoln from an assassination attempt. So this lady had, I'm telling you, she had a really interesting life. There's not a lot known about her before she became a Pinkerton agent. I know she was born in Erin, New York, sometime around 1833, but not a birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I could find about her early life because there are no photos of her, no records of her. But we do know she was very adept at disguise. So she made a perfect spy and agent for the Pinkerton Agency.
Love it.
Now, the first, you know, documentation of Kate started in 1856 when she was only 23 years old. She was already a widow and she needed a job. Her family wasn't very wealthy and she didn't have much of an education. And she wanted to be an actress in New York City, but her family said no. So she never actually got to pursue that.
Aww.
Sort of. You know, at least in not any way that was recorded as an actress. But her interest in acting helped her with her confidence, and she had a knack for pretending to be somebody else.
Perfect.
Now, she had moved at this point from New York to Chicago, and one day she walked into the offices of Alan Pinkerton of the Pinkerton Agency, who ran the best detective agency in the U.S. at the time. He'd been a deputy sheriff in Chicago for the Chicago PD before opening his agency. And he took one look at this little woman, and said, and he described her. He described her in his memoir as slender, graceful in her movements, and perfectly self-possessed in her manner, and that she possessed eyes filled with fire.
Wow.
And he assumed she was there asking to become a secretary because they had a position open as a secretary at the time. There were very few, if any, female police officers in the U.S. at that point, never mind detectives. And it wouldn't be until 1910 in Los Angeles when Alice Stebbins Wells was officially hired to become the first female police officer in L.A. And even
then, she's way ahead of her time.
Yeah. And even then, the female officers were really there to babysit, take care of women and children issues and things like that. They weren't allowed to carry guns or do any actual policing. So basically, they were a police babysitter kind of thing. But yeah. Alan Pinkerton was intrigued by this woman who had the nerve to come in and ask to be a detective. He told Kate that, you know, the secretarial position, you know, and she said, "I'm not here for a secretarial position. I'm here to apply for the job that you've advertised in the Chicago," I don't know which newspaper, but one of the Chicago newspapers. And Pinkerton kind of was in a little shock, and he had doubts that a woman could do that kind of job. And he told her it's not the custom to employ women detectives. Well,
how about now?
Our Kate was not exactly a shrinking violet, so she came back at him and pointed out that a woman could get into places a man couldn't get into. They could overhear conversations and collect gossip and overhear news and social functions, and they could pose as a wife on assignments where a couple was needed, and a man and a woman together would be suspicious if they weren't husband and wife.
Right.
And she could befriend a suspect's wife or girlfriend and get the information that a male detective wouldn't be able to get.
Totally.
So Pinkerton thought about it overnight, and the next morning he hired her.
Yay!
And within a year or two, she was assigned to a big investigation of a suspected embezzlement from the Adams Express Company. She went right in, marched right in as usual, and she became the confidant of the suspect's wife.
Wow.
Who had a big mouth, evidently. Kate was able to get her hands on evidence that led to the conviction of the expressman called Mr. Maroney, who had stolen $50,000 from the company.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole lot of money back then.
Back then, yeah. Are you kidding? In 1858, I didn't do the calculations to see how much it would be now, but it would be a lot, like, you know, hundreds of thousands, I'm sure. Kate helped recover nearly $40,000 of the money, and the guy was convicted and sentenced to 10 years in prison in Montgomery, Alabama. This was occurred in Alabama, where the Adams Express Company was pretty prominent at the time. Now, on another occasion, she thwarted a plot to poison a wealthy captain named Sumner by posing as a fortune teller.
I love it. Love it.
She was trained by the agency and prepared by the agency and, you know, given all the background information on the people involved and the suspects they had. And she really convinced them that she was a medium and she had a gift for divination. And so
awesome.
Yeah. So she went in and hosted Sumner's sister, Annie Thayer, who was the, I guess, prime suspect in the plot to kill him. And she thoroughly impressed her. She thought she really was a medium. And then she told the woman she was being called by Mr. Patmore to assist in the murder of Patmore's wife and her own brother, Captain Sumner.
Wow.
So she found out that, I guess, Mr. Patmore and Miss Thayer murdered Patmore's wife, and they caught them before they could murder Sumner. And Patmore was convicted of his wife's murder and spent 10 years in prison. So she was able to go in, convince this girl that she was actually a medium and that this was what was going to happen, got her to confess to her, I guess, and tell her what was going on. And part of the reason she could get these people to confide in her is because she was friendly and warm and
right,
and could easily befriend them and get them to like her and get them to trust her. And so nobody suspected her of being a detective because women weren't detectives, right? So
exactly.
She could go in and do these things.
The perfect undercover.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what Pinkerton really loved about her. Mm-hmm. She was willing to do any of that, and eventually he made her in charge of his female detective bureau in 1860, which he started then, because he figured one girl is awesome, you know, 10 girls is going to be stupendous. So he hired her to head it up and teach these girls how to do what she did.
Wow.
But her most Kate's most notable case, however, was foiling the plot to assassinate newly elected Abraham Lincoln on his whistle-stop tour from Illinois to Washington, D.C. for his inauguration. They call the plot the 1861 Baltimore Plot, and Kate was in rare form on this one. She could finally be the actress she'd always wanted to become. She went undercover as a secessionist and attended secessionist parties in Baltimore
and got
in with all of them and got the confidence of all of them there because of how she behaved and,
I
you know, how friendly she was. And they told her all about the plot they had going on. So
join us.
Yeah, really. So she passed the information on to Pinkerton and they formed a plan. And on the evening of February 22nd, when this was supposed to happen, as he was traveling from Philadelphia to Baltimore, they had Lincoln pose as an invalid and she was his sister. And he was all stooped over with this shawl around his shoulders. And she convinced everybody that he was an invalid and she was his caregiver and sister. And she took him along and nobody even suspected who was underneath the shawl that he had covering his head and everything. And they slipped
through. Very sneaky.
They slipped right through Baltimore to Washington, D.C. without anybody knowing it.
Good job.
So she was a master of, I guess, disguise, you'd call her. So she got to be the actress she always wanted to be.
She was the female Sherlock Holmes.
There you go. Yeah, she really
was.
That's
how I'm seeing it.
That's exactly what I thought of her, yeah. And, and you know, even after the war, she was investigating murders. She investigated the murder of a bank teller by befriending the suspect's wife once again. And she was able to find out from that woman, who evidently was a blabbermouth, where they'd hidden the $130,000 he'd stolen when he murdered the teller.
Gossip, gossip, gossip.
Kate worked for the Pinkerton Agency for about 12 years, and she participated in lots of investigations and taught and supervised other female operatives as the head of the Bureau, the Female Bureau, and continued to work with Pinkerton throughout the Civil War and served as his right-hand man. That's what he considered her. In his memoir, he said she was his right hand. And when she passed away from pneumonia in 1868, when she was only 35 years old.
Oh, that really sucks.
Yeah, she was buried in the Pinkerton family plot alongside the Pinkerton family. Yeah.
So she never married. She just had, she was like totally thrown into this job. And
well, she was married. She was married. She was a widow.
Right. She was a widow, but she didn't remarry after she got.
That I could find, she didn't remarry or have any kind of relationship that I could find, but it's limited information about her. And most of it's about her helping with the attempt on Lincoln's life. So,
hey, she was living a pretty awesome life there.
She had a great life. Yeah.
Got shed of her marriage situation.
She had a great life and she got, you know, she got away from the family and she went and did maybe not acting on the stage like she had thought she wanted to at one time, but she got to do acting and she got to feel like she solved some crimes that, you know, were pretty important to solve at the time.
Well, apparently, if the Pinkerton man really found her to be his number one.
Yeah, yeah. He called her.
Trusted her.
He called her in his memoir, his right hand. So he really did respect her. And, you know, she showed him that women could do more than just secretarial work.
So do you know how many girls that she trained or if any of them went on to be anybody important? Or
no. No, I don't know. I don't know that information. I just know that she was the head of that organization from 1860, I guess until her death.
She did open a door. I mean, that's really cool.
She did. She made it so that women could have this alternate career that nobody ever thought they were suited for and showed them that they were perfectly suited for it and could, you know, in some instances do it better than a man. So
exactly.
She was a feminist in her time, I guess.
Go Miss Kate. All right.
That's really interesting. Yeah, it was. It was a lot of, although there's not a lot of information, the more I read, the more she intrigued me. So I just kind of had to tell her story on our Forensic Fridays because she had an interesting, very short life.
Well, it sounds like the things she worked on, you know, were not trivial. I mean, she did save the president's life.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a pretty big impact, if you ask me.
Now,
and then, you know,
go ahead.
Who knows how many women and girls she inspired?
Exactly. A little bit of history on that Adams Express Company, the one where she found out that Mr. Maroney had embezzled and she recovered most of the money. Mm-hmm. That company was instrumental and used by abolitionist groups in the 1840s to deliver anti-slavery information flyers and everything from the North to the South states. And
very interesting.
In 1849, a Virginia slave named Henry Box Brown shipped himself north to Philadelphia and freedom via Adams Express.
Did you say Box?
Yeah, exactly. I guess maybe that was his nickname after he escaped.
That's his nickname. Henry got a box and he got to the other side of the world.
But I thought that was a little interesting tidbit. This company was instrumental in abolition and the abolitionist movement and was used, Mr. Henry used it to ship himself north. Which is very clever.
I think it is too. I would have probably given it a whirl myself. Well,
this company still exists today. At the time, it was an investment company, sort of, and a shipping company. And now it's an investment company. Everybody can take a look at their 401ks and see if they're invested in Adams Diversified Equity Fund, because that's what it's called now.
That's great. I love it. Oh, my goodness. Well, some things never die. They just change the names, don't they?
Exactly. But this is just – anyway, I just thought she was a really interesting person, and I wanted to get her the word of her spread out there, because I'd never really heard of her before.
And if you think about it, I mean, look at all of us diving into these cold cases and stuff, and we're girls.
And she was the first one diving into those cold cases, but they weren't cold. She was being a detective and evidently enjoyed it very much until the day she died of pneumonia is what she died from. So,
that's really sad.
At the age of 35. She was very young.
I can only imagine, if she got to be a little more elderly and could then really infiltrate on that.
Yeah.
Well, she's just a little grandma. We tell her. She won't hurt us.
She's just a granny. She's not going to poison us with anything, really.
No.
That prune pie is not going to come out of her.
She's so sweet. Look. She's wearing an apron. Oh, my goodness. Well, that was awesome. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And, go read some about her. I didn't get everything out there, but there really isn't a lot. But I'm sure there's more information that you can dig if you dig enough about her. But she just really interested me, and I thought she needed to have her name put out there, She was working for all us girls,
when you talk about this, I see this great big burly kind of, I'm imagining this, okay, I don't know that this is true, but she goes to see Mr. Pinkerton, who is of a Scottish descent, I can only imagine this, like, monster wild, big red beard and hair, and he's probably huge, and here comes this little petite, pretty little girl.
I don't know how burly, how huge she was, but he did appear pretty burly in some of the photographs I've seen of him. And he had the big full beard and the,
it's just my imagination.
Which seems to be red in the pictures I've seen of him, but I'm not sure. But it kind of has that shade of black and white pictures that's red, so.
Well, you might think that, he'd be the ultimate misogynist, even at that time period. Oh, you little girl, go on down the road.
He did have that idea at first, but then I guess he went home and he thought about, this girl has moxie. She came in and she didn't want no secretarial job. She wanted a detective job, and she made some good points, so I'm going to give her a shot.
And she's going to be an asset.
Exactly. And she was.
I can kick her to the curb if she's not.
Exactly.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Opening doors in the 1800s. That's kicking doors down. Good for her.
All righty. Well, that was Kate Warren. And you can go take a look at her story out there.
Well, thanks, y'all. Thanks for being here. And we will see you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.